Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen. Beloved congregation, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. We continue our worship this evening by singing Psalter 308, the first three verses. Not unto us, O Lord of heaven, but unto thee be glory given. And what follows of 1, 2, and 3 of 308. Turn in our Bibles tonight to Matthew chapter 6, reading the first 15 verses. And in connection with that, we also turn to Lord's Day 47 of the Heidelberg Catechism as we continue our study of the Lord's Prayer, turning tonight to the first petition, Hallowed be thy name. Matthew 6 at verse 1. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Thus far. Page 84 in the back of the Psalter, if you'd like to follow along, Lord's Day 47. The question simply is, which or what is the first petition? And the answer is, hallowed be thy name. That is, grant us first rightly to know thee, and to sanctify, glorify, and praise thee in all thy works, in which thy power, wisdom, goodness, justice, mercy, and truth are clearly displayed. And further also, that we may so order and direct our whole lives, our thoughts, words, and actions, that thy name may never be blasphemed, but rather honored and praised on our account. Thus far. Let's sing now Psalter 121, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Let us now make confession of our faith by reading together the 12 articles of the Apostles' Creed. Let us all say in our hearts, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe a holy Catholic or universal church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Congregation, let us now unite in prayer. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Thy name, O Lord, is great, and from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Thy name is high and lifted up over all the earth. Thy name is highly exalted. Thy name, O Lord, is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Many enemies beset thy people round about, but as the Psalms teach us, by the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. The name of the Lord is the way in which thou, O God, has revealed thyself to us through thy names as well as thy attributes and works. Lord, especially thy names, as thou there before thy servant of old Moses didst proclaim the name of the Lord as he was hid in the cleft of the rock. And as thou, O Lord, in that revelation there in Exodus, did reveal himself, thyself to him, thou didst pass by the name of the Lord, God, merciful. Thou, O Lord, art merciful. We need thy mercy, and thy mercies, O Lord, are in the heavens, multiplied, superabounding. And Lord, that is the first way that thou wast pleased to reveal thyself to Moses. And Lord, in so many other ways, we have the revelation of thyself through thy names, the Almighty Adonai, El Shaddai, the covenant-making and covenant-keeping relational Jehovah, the almighty and glorious Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lamb, the bright and morning star, so many other ways. We see thy glory And we pray, O Lord, with the subject matter before us tonight from this first petition of the Lord's Prayer, teach us to hallow thy name. Forgive us, Lord, for the many ways in which we fall short, in which we fail to recognize the greatness of thy name, thy holiness, thy glory. And in so often, in so many ways, we have thought that thou wast altogether such a one as we are. But, O Lord, how different, how much greater, how glorious, utterly transcendent in thy being, in thy essence, in thy nature. And Lord, it's a wonder, indeed, that thou art willing to have dealings with sinners like us. But Lord, then we look to him who hallowed thy name perfectly in our stead, who came in our flesh, who was made of a woman made under the law, to redeem those that were under the law, to reconcile sinners like us unto thee, O hallowed and holy and great God. We thank thee, O Lord, for the word of the gospel that can be preached unto us from Lord's Day to Lord's Day. It is a gospel that we and our children have not deserved, but which thou art so willing to send. And Lord, we pray then that the light of thy truth and the light of thy candlestick may continue among us, that, Lord, we may be kept faithful to thy word, and we may continue to receive from thee all that we need for our souls as a congregation and as individuals, as families. O Lord, we bow before thee, humbly thankful for a way of salvation. And we pray, O Lord, work out that way of salvation in each one of our lives, so that we may one day hallow thee perfectly as we were created to do. Lord, and in the meantime, in this life, which is nothing but a continual death, the disappointments and struggles and fears and doubts and all the rest of it, help us, we pray, through the midst of them to honor thee, to hallow thy name, and carry us, we pray, as on eagle's wings. We think of those who are going through hardships. We think of those who have lost loved ones recently. We think again of Shay and Esther and their family, and others in similar circumstances, or others who have lost a loved one, a friend, a sibling, a parent. O Lord, in all of these ways, help us to say with Job, the Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Lord, we confess that we are but unworthy, we are but sinful, but oh, continue with us and support us and help us, Lord, each and every day of our lives. We thank thee for all the activities that we have been given to do and the freedoms to carry them out in, and the many blessings that we have been given in our land. And we pray, Lord, be with us also in this week ahead. Grant us all that we need. Help us and prosper our way, Lord, in our work, in our businesses, and whatever we are called to do in the home, in the office, in the shop, in the field, in the tractor, on the job site, wherever it is. And that, Lord, we might seek to honor thy name in all that we do, and that we may see the good hand of our God upon us, blessing us, keeping us, each of us in our particular circumstances. Remember, Lord, we pray, thy church worldwide. We think of the persecuted church, and those especially who at this time may be experiencing acute persecution in a heightened way, in a more intense way. We ask thee to remember thy church, O Lord, in countries such as Pakistan, India, and Africa and different places where there is so much opposition. O Lord, uphold thy church, we pray. Bless the work of evangelism and missions in those places, and protect thy people, and strengthen them to bear witness of thy great name. I pray especially for the country of North Korea. Lord, a nation locked up. It seems as if none may enter and none may leave. Very few. We don't even know what's happening behind the borders of that land. But we fear, and also as reports have told us over the years, so much suffering, so much oppression, and actually a great picture and example of Satan's lies. So much untruth is fed to those people. There is such a wide gap between what is actually the case in terms of what the world is like and what they are told. And Lord, we pray for thy deliverance for those people, the children, the young people, the young adults, those who have children, parents who are struggling to care for those children, the many street children, the orphans, for those who are elderly, all of them living in this country so dark. O Lord, we pray, remember them. O Lord, we pray, open the borders of that land. We pray that evil may be restrained and destroyed, and that thou would give the gospel to come flooding in to that nation, that millions may come to the knowledge of the truth. O Lord, we pray for those who are refugees. We remember Egram and Danny, as well as the Fikru Woldi family, whom we have supported, and we ask thee to uphold them, Lord, day by day as they continue to wait and live their lives there in Cairo. We pray that in due time they may receive a phone call, an email for the next step of the process, and that in due time they may be able to come here to Chilliwack to be with us. We ask thee, Lord, to bless and guide and keep us as we continue this service and keep from and pardon every sin. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. We sing now Psalter 14, 1, 2, 3, and 7. At this time, your gifts and offerings will be received for the Lord in his service. Thank you. Beloved congregation, what does your name mean? Children, do you have any idea what your name means? Think of the name Samuel. Samuel is made up of two Hebrew words, and it means God has heard. Remember how in the Bible, the Old Testament, Hannah had prayed. And God gave her a child, and she said, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord has given me the petition I asked of him." God has heard. Samuel. The meaning of that name. Nowadays, our names don't carry as much significance in terms of their meaning. I'm sure there are a good number here who don't even maybe know what their name means, and it doesn't really matter that much. But in Bible times, people felt very strongly about the names that they had and the names they gave their children. Think of Naomi. Naomi comes back from the land of Moab, having lost her husband and her two sons and actually a daughter-in-law, and she's there only with Ruth. And the people say, "Naomi is back," and she says, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara." She renames herself because the Lord, the Almighty, had dealt bitterly with her. Or think of when the wife of Phinehas, Eli's daughter-in-law, heard that Eli had died and that the battle with the Philistines was lost and that the ark was taken. She went into labor, and as she knew she was dying, she named her son Ichabod. The glory is gone, departed. Significance of that name for the circumstances in Israel's history was big. There are many more examples. But let's go back all the way to paradise before the fall as God makes all the creatures and he parades them, as it were, before Adam. And Adam has to do what? His work. His job was to give each animal, each creature, a name suitable to its nature, its character, its description, what it looked like. It was the first instance of scientific nomenclature, if you will, as Adam names the animals. And I'm sure that whatever Adam called them reflected something of that animal's beauty and gifts. But let's go back even further to God himself. There we have the strongest instance of all of this. God actually is his names. When God gives to us a name of himself, he's not revealing some identification tag, something to call him by to us. He's revealing himself, who he is. His nature, his being, his essence is communicated to us through his names. And it is with that truth in mind that Jesus teaches his disciples here to pray, "Hallowed be thy name." In the preamble, which we considered last time, the Lord Jesus taught us that God is the Father of all who are in him, in Christ. And therefore, it is with this childlike familiarity that God's people may pray to him. But the first petition, which we now come to, sets up a contrast with this truth, and a healthy one. Because while on the one hand the words "our Father" are to cultivate in God's people this childlike trust and loving familiarity with God in heaven, on the other hand, as the prayer continues, we are immediately reminded that this God is in no way to be brought down to our level. See the wise balance that Jesus puts in these first two parts of the Lord's Prayer? He balances both the nearness, the imminence, and the transcendence, or the highness of God. He teaches his disciples to hold the God who is their Father in Christ in awe and majesty. Prayer is to begin with the acknowledgement of God as Father, but then also, as it were, in the same breath, the acknowledgement of God as holy and glorious. And that's fitting and important for us to remember as we, as weak, human, sinful creatures, come into the presence of him whom Daniel called the great, Nehemiah called the great and terrible God, the one whose name is holy. We should recognize and speak to the praise and the honor of his name. It's so fitting when we think of who God is. And so this petition, this first petition, is all about the honor of God. The Westminster Larger Catechism puts it this way, that God would, by his grace, enable and incline us and others to know, acknowledge, and highly esteem him, his titles, his attributes, his ordinances, word, works, and whatsoever he is pleased to make himself known by, and to glorify him in thought, word, and deed. How quickly we can forget this. We come to God in prayer, and the first thing out of our mouths is something relating to ourselves and our needs or those of others around us. But as one man said, prayer is about more than our needs. It is, but it goes deeper than that. It's about God's glory. That God's name would be honored and glorified and revered. The Puritan Thomas Watson says this, "This petition is set at the forefront to show that the hallowing of God's name is to be preferred before all things." Before life itself, he says. Before we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we're taught to pray, hallowed be thy name. It's the top priority. And as you look at the prayers of the Bible, you find a very similar approach unto God. Think of the prayer of Nehemiah in Nehemiah 1. How does he begin his prayer? He's there in Shushan, the palace. He's just heard that the remnant of the children of Israel and the land are in great affliction and distress. And he is weeping. He sat down and wept certain days. And he doesn't say, "Oh Lord, remember those people." He does, but first he says, "I beseech thee." And this is how he approaches God. "Oh Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments." He's extolling who God is. Daniel, in chapter 9, we have his prayer. He prayed unto the Lord and he made his confession and said, "O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments." Very similar. There's this extolling of who God is in his covenant ways and his mercy. This expression of the greatness of the being and the glory of God. As Thomas Watson puts it, the most weighty thing in our in true religion is God's glory. Isn't that true? What is it all about? It's not about you and me. What is the salvation of sinners all about? It's about God's glory. The glory of God in the salvation of sinners. What is the judgment of sinners all about? God's glory. What was the purpose of creation? God says, "This people have I made, created for myself." Why? "That they might show forth my praise." What is the chief end of man? The Shorter Catechism asks. It's to glorify God and enjoy him forever. This is the weightiest thing in true religion, and And how this eludes us, how this escapes us so often. When, as we are involved in the things of religion. It's a truth that is sometimes completely lost on us. Because we're selfish. We're self-centered by nature. Each one of us thinks that the universe revolves around me. And so we approach religion with that natural mindset that it's there to serve me. What's in it for me? How can it help me? Where's the comfort for me? I need hope for me and my eternal life. And we need these things. It's true, but it's not the heart of all religion. True religion's great aim is the God of that religion, the God of heaven and His glory. Well, think of it this way. If you look at the Lord's Prayer, take a step back and look at all the petitions. Most, if not all of the other petitions, will one day no longer be needed. They will lose their purpose. Our daily bread, the pardon of sin, protection from temptation and evil, these will one day no longer be needed, but not this one. To all eternity, the redeemed will be singing the glory of God and extolling His name. The hallowing of God's name has no end. This is the everlasting petition of the Lord's Prayer. It's no wonder Watson called this the first and great petition. Now, when Jesus teaches us to say, "Hallowed be thy name," we should not think that that means that we can add something to God's glory. Nothing can do that. God is the all-glorious God. He is complete in Himself, in His essence. His glory cannot be added to, but what Jesus is teaching us, that we are to acknowledge and to confess His honor, and also, as a request, as the Catechism puts it, grant us rightly to know Thee. And here the Catechism touches on a very important truth, because you cannot extol and glorify God unless you know that God rightly. And how can we know God? Well, the Lord reveals Himself in multiple ways. He reveals Himself in creation, Romans 1:20, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen." Paul's saying, look around you. It's obvious and evident that there is a God. He is manifesting Himself in all the intricate beauties of creation. That's one of the lies of the devil. Attacking truth, as we heard this morning, evolution, which is blinding the eyes of so many, or trying to at least, and thereby denying the existence of this God. But is that enough? Is the revelation of God through nature enough? No, it's not. We need more, and we call this special revelation the Word of God. The way to truly know God is through the Bible, through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus prays in His high priestly prayer that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. And so let our prayer be, Lord, grant me rightly to know Thee more and more. That is, let Thy name be hallowed in my life by my ever growing in the right knowledge of who Thou art. That is, align my thinking, my understanding, my conception of who Thou art with reality. Conform my thinking to who Thou art. The child of God is never done with that activity, because no one understands or knows or can glorify God rightly in this life. God is infinite. that we are sinful and finite. But now something else. Consider the word again, hallowed. And we just said that it means to glorify God. But why didn't Jesus then just say, "Thy name be glorified"? Why hallowed and not glorified? Well, Thomas Boston here, he gives an insightful answer to this particular question. Because God's holiness is his glory in a peculiar way. God's holiness is his glory in a peculiar way. So hallowed or holied be thy name is, you could say, the highest form of the glory of God. Exodus 15, verse 11. We read that the Lord is glorious in holiness. His holiness is the glory of all his other attributes. It is, you could say, the universal attribute that runs through all the others. It is the vein of infinite purity that goes through all the letters of his name and makes them shine forth in glory. And now we speak of things that we actually can't grasp fully. But God is holy, and that holiness is the epitome of who God is. Over 30 times in Scripture, God is called the Holy One. And it's this attribute that in Isaiah 6, the angels are pointing out as they call out, "Holy, holy, holy." That's also the great purpose of God in redemption, isn't it? When the Lord saves a sinner, he is putting that sinner on a path to holiness, to be like him. He's not putting that sinner on a path to omniscience, not to omnipotence or all power, not to omnipresence, but to holiness. That shows that holiness is God's grand attribute, the one that most radiates and demonstrates his glory. And it is this that we are to have in view, the holiness of God and the need for and the desire for his people to that holiness. Hebrews tells us that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. This is the aim, to be conformed to the image of his Son, to be made holy. Yes, sinful, despicable, rebellious creatures like you and me can be brought into that condition of holiness. And that's why Jesus has his people pray, "Hallowed be thy name." Thomas Boston again, he says, "God's name is more glorified by a holy, poor man, some insignificant nobody, than by an unholy, great man, king, or someone else." That's the determining factor. So you don't need to be somebody, you don't need to have a lot in this life for this. There's no prerequisites on an earthly level, but there's this looking up to the God who made you. It's turning to him in Jesus Christ. The Lord then sets you on a path to hallowing his name and to holiness. Well, you might wonder, how can we live this out practically in our lives? We're called to reflect the heart of this petition in our lives. And child of God, this may not be some empty petition in your life. It must live clearly. It's the desire, it should be your desire that God's name be hallowed. But how does that play itself out? How does that manifest itself in your daily life? Well, first Think of sin relative to this petition. It is sin which is the diametrically opposed to this petition. Whenever you sin, you don't hallow God's name, you do the opposite. You dishonor it, you provoke His holiness. Sin is the opposite of holiness. When you sin, you contradict your own confession. And when we grieve for sin, let it be first of all not at how it has affected us, but how it has dishonored God. It's hard to internalize because, again, by nature, we're so selfish and it's all about us. And, well, I've sinned and now I'm reaping the effects of my sin, and that's a bad thing. But wait a minute, what has that sin done to God? Well, we need to repent and ask God to make His honor paramount in our life, that the honor of His name would also work as a deterrent against sin. And He would say with Joseph, "How shall I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" But then secondly, and related to this, consider the damage of sinful conduct to God's name in public life and before others. When others see you as a Christian acting contrary to your confession, maybe you're being stubborn, or you're being heady or unyielding, or you're being coarse or rude or clearly unfair or disrespectful, or you're being obstinate, you're showing hardness of heart, you're inconsiderate or unkind. You show that your selfish heart means so much to you, and you're just walking over other people, proverbially speaking, in terms of so that you can get yourself ahead, and someone sees all of that and they conclude, "This man's religion is vain." And what are we doing to the name of God? They blaspheme His holy name. We can so easily detract the holiness of God in the estimation of others by our conduct before them. And so we must pray with the Catechism that we may so order our lives that Thy name may never be blasphemed. It's a practical way to live out this petition. Third, another way. Realize that sin and unholiness clothe you in dishonor. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. So we must strive for holiness, because to be holy is to be honorable. Holiness, Boston says, is the creature's glory. And the creature's greatest glory, because it is God's glory. Holiness is the greatest honor. It's the precursor to heaven. And remember, as the psalmist says, it is the saints, and that word is holy ones, who are the excellent of earth. Remember that. It helps you live out this petition practically. Fourth, you can live this petition out practically by seeking and encouraging holiness in others. It should be the desire of every child of God that the earth would be filled with the knowledge of the Lord and the glory of the Lord, and so as parents, their children would hallow His name. And we would pray God, like Job prayed for his children, to keep them, to forgive them, to preserve them. That as husbands and wives, we would follow after holiness and encourage one another to it. We would pray for holiness in our leaders and in ourselves and all of our conduct. Very practical way to live out this petition. Fifth, you glorify God and hallow His name when you submit to Him in your various lots in life. How glorifying to God. What a testimony it is of His fatherly goodness when the mute Christian under the rod submits to his father's chastening and comes out the better for it. When we can say, by grace, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn Thy statutes. When with Job we can say, though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. When you live out Lord's Day 10, that all things come not by chance, but from His fatherly hand, You're practically living out this petition. Well, maybe you hear this and you say, how? How? If I think back only on this past week or this past month, I failed in all these ways. I haven't been what I should have been. And we have reason to repent before God, congregation, and ask Him for grace. And maybe you're here and you're not concerned about these things at all, and you say, well, this holiness stuff, it's just not for me. I'm busy with my life, and I'll attend to church and assent to the truth and live on and hope for the best in the end. Well, you're betraying your condition, my friend. If you have no desire for God's name to be hallowed now, what makes you think you'll have that desire in heaven? A Samuel Davies, who was a minister during the Great Awakening in America, said, "If you do not delight in the service of God, in contemplating His glories, in celebrating His praises, and in the humble forms of worship in His church on earth, heaven is no place for you. Because these are the eternal exercises there. And if you have no pleasure in these things, then heaven would be an eternal drudgery for you." My friend, you need Christ and His power to transform you so that you begin to pray and to pray with this first petition, this first petition in terms of order and in terms of priority, that it would become really yours in your life. Hallowed be Thy name. So your job, even tonight, is to seek His grace in Jesus Christ, to pardon your sin, to make you His child, so that you would begin to follow after holiness and to hallow God's name practically in your life. Yes, it's Christ that you need, because Christ Himself did for you what you have not done, what you have failed to do. He hallowed God's name perfectly. 3 times He prayed that, "Lord, if it be possible, my Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but as Thou wilt." As one man wrote, he was prepared to sacrifice everything that God may be glorified, even to his own shame, and in doing so, he hallowed His name. Not just for himself. And this is the key. He did so for all His people, for all who flee to Him. That hallowing of His Father's name, of God's name, cascades over their lives. It covers all your shortcomings and your sins in this regard too, of perfectly failing to perfectly hallow God's name. And He did it throughout His whole existence. He did it in eternity past. As He said in the time before time, "Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do Thy will, O my God." There in the annals of eternity, He came and He agreed to go into this world to rescue a fallen people, perfectly hallowing His Father's name. He hallowed it when He was 12 years old, going about His Father's business. He hallowed it every second of His life while on earth, as He healed the sick, as He cleansed the temple, as He cast out devils, as He spoke in parables, as He goes to the cross and He gives His life, and as He rises again, and when He ascends into heaven, as we just remembered it. And even at this very moment, your Savior, child of God, is perfectly hallowing that name on your behalf, even as He continually makes intercession for you at the Father's right hand. Perfect, complete work. He's also praying for your failures, child of God, and He won't stop praying. He's always praying that your faith fail not, always praying until you are brought safe in glory. You could say the Lord Jesus is praying his people right into heaven, as it were. And until then, we are called to walk in his footsteps, to hallow God's name. And each time we stumble and fall, to say unto our enemy, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. For though I walk in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me. Though I fall, I shall arise by the strength of the Lord." And he will carry you along step by step, helping you to hallow his name in thought, words, and deeds all your life long. As one man wrote, it is a matter not only of religious worship in the narrow sense, but of our whole philosophy of life in the broadest sense. Everything in life is to be subjected to this great truth: hallowed be thy name in my life. There's no aspect of a Christian's life where God doesn't matter. And therefore, we can never think he's irrelevant, or we don't have to consider him for this part. Everything, this holiness of God's name, matters. Well, child of God, take your life to him. Lift your eyes to him to help you, to hallow his name by your life until the day when you may do so in perfection in heaven. Whereas we'll now sing, "Children's children shall proclaim the glorious honor of his name." Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And as we have heard this night, Lord, of the need to live our lives in a way that by nature we cannot do and we will not do, we pray for thy work and for thy Holy Spirit to make us willing in the day of thy power to transform sinners by the renewing of their minds, making them new creatures in Jesus Christ, and so join with all thy people, even though they halt and stumble in this life, to make a small beginning of hallowing thy great name. Lord, we thank thee for thy patience. We thank thee, Lord, for thy goodness and thy mercies and thy grace and bearing with us. And we pray, help us to follow after holiness and to hallow thy name. Dismiss us now with thy blessing. Be with us, Lord, in the week ahead. Grant us all that we need from moment to moment and all the activities that we are about, that we will be doing. Pray also for the service next Sunday, as in the morning service we hope to have a special confession of faith service. We pray, Lord, for those who are to give their yes word, and we ask for a blessing then. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 48, 1, 3, and 7, and 405, 1, 6, and 7. Go now to your homes in peace and receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.